Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9.
Different Strokes Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the Different Strokes Effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Cause it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
Dave, you must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. We just played the White Stripes' Jolene, very painful version.
Oh, was it painful to listen to?
It wasn't painful to listen to, but he really felt it, didn't he?
Yeah, in ways that, I don't know.
Only an indie musician can.
Yeah, well.
You wouldn't have thought a country musician would have felt more pain.
Look, Sophie Ellis-Bextor, okay. I can't believe this. I'm mentioning her again.
SCB. Yeah,
I love my Sophie. Yeah. She did cover that song, and I kind of slightly prefer her version. You wonder why. In any case, TV tonight, let's take a walk down memory lane. In fact, let's go all the way back to Sesame Street. Can you believe this, Jade? Sesame Street has been going on for 40 years.
40 years?
40 years. So not 40 billion, like you say at the start of the show.
Yeah,
40.
But they're definitely much older than me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Hell yeah. So 40 years it's been going on for. It started in 1969. Now, in case you haven't heard of Sesame Street, which you must...
1969, that's 50 years, isn't it?
No. It's 40 years.
Oh, 40 years.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't believe I corrected you in maths. Do you have any idea how bad my
maths
is?
I'm really bad at maths.
I am super bad.
Let's have a mathathon.
Like, we will both lose. So
yes.
Let's not do that. It would be embarrassing. But I managed to count
Neither
to 40.
Neither of us are mathletes.
Not mathletes. Is that, like, what geeky people call each other?
A mathlete?
Yeah.
No, I think there's something where you like, compete against each other to be mathletes. It's like an actual legitimate thing. Anyway,
sad.
Kids in schools do it.
Yeah, well, maybe we should have watched more Sesame Street because obviously they teach kids to count, but not till 40. Look, in case you don't know what Sesame Street is about, it's an American children's educational show, obviously. Get this, Jade, it's shown in 120 different countries. And there's been several different versions as well. Like, I know there's a South African version.
So they make their own versions too?
Yeah, slightly different, but based on the same idea, but different Muppets.
Ah, okay. I'd be interested to see the Muppets around the world.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, the American one's pretty popular. So I guess, you know, probably about most countries would know your Elmos, your Big Birds and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 2006, Sesame Street had become the most widely viewed kids' TV show in the world. So... I mean, 2006, I would have thought earlier than that.
Mm.
But having said that, the ratings, their ratings have actually dropped since the 90s. which I don't know if it's something that you and I would notice because, I mean, I was still growing up in the 90s, so I would still be watching Sesame Street, say, in the early 90s. And I have a little brother, so this is why the whole Sesame Street thing is still fresh in my head.
Yeah.
It's not like I stay up get up early every morning just to watch it.
What is the age demographic where you think you can watch Sesame Street?
I think as long as you are accompanying a kid or you are a kid under the age of, say, prep and under, you're allowed to watch it.
But what do you think is the primary, like, is it aimed at little kids?
Clearly it is aimed at little kids, but I'm going to give concession to anyone that's caring or accompanying a child.
Yes.
Because I've been in that situation.
Well, because, you know, the whole world has, like, Elmo fever, you know? Like, yeah. They go crazy about Elmo.
That's very interesting because Elmo wasn't part of the original cast.
No.
Elmo was only added on, I think, in 1985.
Tell me about Oscar the Grouch because I have a thing for Oscar the Grouch. Oh, my God.
Is that your favourite? Yeah. Okay. Oscar the Grouch, right, is actually one of the original monsters on the show.
Yep.
Did you know, a little bit of trivia for you, Jay, did you know in the first season of Sesame Street, Oscar the Grouch was actually orange?
Oh, really?
Like a peachy orange colour.
He's so good as green.
He's good as green and he's living in a garbage can. You need that mouldy green. I don't know how they got away with peachy orange. It was so bad, but
best move they ever made.
Yeah, best makeover.
Yeah.
Stayed that way for, what, 39 years? But in any case, look, the format of the show was actually quite revolutionary at the time. There was nothing like this kids' TV show. A lot of people are saying that it was sort of like the rise of something called teaching commercials because it's an educational show, right, Jade?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't bore you to death with long-winded crap. Mm-hmm. They break it down to like 30-second animations or like little jingles or songs. So
it's very
like
snappy in terms of...
Very snappy.
Yeah.
They know kids' attention spans and they play to that, which was really revolutionary at the time. So they were called kind of like teaching commercials, you know, little breakaways. Other things I really love about Sesame Street would be the comedy skits. Mm-hmm. Like you're watching, I think you can watch Sesame Street as a grown up and still appreciate it for their innocence, you know, and the music. So many great catchy tunes have come forth from there, like that we actually carry to our adulthood as well.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still a big fan of C is for Cookie. Can I buy this on iTunes? Like, yeah. I want that as my ringtone. C is for Cookie.
Are you going to broach on the subject of Bert and Ernie?
I will talk about Bert and Ernie.
It's
a bit interesting because when I was younger, are you implying that they might be the gay couple on Sesame Street?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know because no one's come forth and officially made a statement that, hey, they are our token gay couple on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
But as you grow up and you watch Sesame Street, you realize, two cohabiting single males.
Yes, that sleep in the same bedroom. Single beds, but...
But same bedroom. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Eventually it got to me and go, okay, maybe that's a possibility. But when you're a kid, you don't think about these things.
No.
So, look, that's the other best part about Sesame Street as well. The characters, like Jim Henson's Muppet characters are just... There's something relatable about them.
Mm-hmm.
They're real, they're cute, and I think as a child when you're, I don't know, maybe this is a generational thing as well, Jade. We're all raised on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So when you feel like, you know, from a young age you've been watching TV and you've been watching Sesame Street for a while, you're kind of like growing up with them. They're kind of like your old friends.
Mm-hmm.
There's that soft, warm, fuzzy spot for Bert and Ernie or Elmo in your heart.
And that's why, you know, Tickle Me Elmo is like this huge sensation.
Yeah, but here's the thing. What I don't get is why Elmo had the bigger solo career.
Yeah. I don't yet. Please, unlock the secrets of Elmo.
Maybe it's because Elmo's cute. Elmo has that giggle.
Yeah.
I don't know of any other Sesame Street characters that quite have the same giggle.
Elmo is like...
Ernie, maybe?
Is like the bland pop musician.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Elmo is cute. But look, the longest standing characters, like I said, was Oscar the Grouch and Big Bird.
Yep.
Big Bird is like an institution. It's like Harold on Neighbours, except still going. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's Big Bird. And like I said, look, Elmo has his own solo career happening in 1998. So this was when my little brother was born.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I started watching Sesame Street again. I realized that Elmo has now got his own segment on Sesame Street called Elmo's World.
People are tuning in for Elmo now.
Yeah, they have a special slot as part of the show just for Elmo's World. That's why it's called Elmo's World. And it's meant to be aimed at toddlers and a younger audience.
Okay.
So, I don't know, there's been lots of uproar with long-standing fans of Sesame Street. There's a bit of backlash going, why is Elmo bigger than the rest?
Yeah.
Surely Big Bird deserves some sort of cred.
Oh, come on. You know, Oscar's there from the beginning. What about there. Count Dracula?
Yeah. The Count was my favourite, actually. So we'll go through some of the favourite classic Sesame Street Muppets or monsters.
Yep.
There's Bert and Ernie, as we've mentioned already. There's, don't forget, the Snuffleupagus.
Ah, Snuffy.
Snuffy. Cookie Monster, who I love.
Yeah, Cookie.
Kermit the Frog. Oh.
This Kermit the Frog part of it?
Yeah, well, loosely. I always thought Kermit the Frog was kind of, you know, maybe part of the a different kind of Muppets
okay.
show. But Kermit the Frog was obviously from Sesame Street at some stage.
Was he?
Yeah, totally, yeah. Telly Monster. I don't like Telly.
No.
He's that maroon-coloured one. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Telly Monster.
And what was Snuffy's, like, little one?
There was a baby Snuffy?
Yeah, I'm sure there was a baby Snuffy at some point.
Maybe it was his little sister.
Okay.
I think so. But Snuffy did have very nice long eyelashes. Yeah. I remember that. And Grover. Do you like Grover? Grover's, I wasn't a fan of Grover.
Grover's like, you know, that kind of... I feel sorry for Grover. Grover's like the awkward brother of Elmo. Like, you know how there's always... Elmo's like the big, popular, like, one that everyone always talks
and
about.
Grover's,
and poor Grover's over in the corner. No one gives him attention. It's like, oh, why can't you be more like Elmo? You know,
so that, Grover's what, LaToya Luckett, if we're putting a Destiny's Child reference
yeah,
in there?
Yeah, sure.
Rick and Paran has actually SMS'd in, don't forget Grover.
Okay, see, there's a Grover fan.
We have a Grover fan. Yeah, look, the Count actually was kind of my favourite. I used to be kind of a little scared of the Count, but then over the years I thought, okay, one, So apart from the popular characters that we've been going off on just then, there are also the more obscure little characters, Jade.
The like cameo characters?
Yeah, but they have recurring roles, right? Mm-hmm. But they get a bit of a cult following.
Okay.
So they're the ones like the Honkers. Do you remember the Honkers?
Are they the honker?
Yeah, as the name suggests, Honkers. Yeah. They've got honkers for nose and all they do is just honk.
Yeah.
And they make lots of noise.
Annoying.
Yep. So there's a bit of a cult following for the Honkers and the Yip Yips. Do you remember the Yip Yips? They're the Martians with the Yip Yip.
Yeah.
Yip 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 Yip. The Martians.
So the irritating ones have
cult followings.
Okay.
Yeah, even though they're not like the main cast, but, you know, they have a place in people's hearts.
Sure.
I've seen a couple of my friends YouTubing the Yip Yips. So maybe there's like some sort of craving to, you know, maybe familiarize yourself with the lesser known characters on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Sesame Street, like I said, is huge in pop culture. Like there seems to be a bit of a comeback with the characters and mainly with like classic kids TV shows like Batman, Superman. Have you noticed them like all over t-shirts these days and lunch boxes?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden it's cool for people in our age group to be sporting these kind of
Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd wear Sesame Street.
Yeah, I would too.
I would totally go for Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah. I think I would wear a Cookie Monster one.
Oh, you wouldn't want your pits?
No, that's a bit obscure.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a bit obscure. Will they even make Yip Yip shirts?
I don't know. I'm sure there's some indie crowd that's into them.
So it's kind of got me thinking, look, a lot of these TV shows that we grew up watching are now translating to t-shirts. It's sort of, you know, hip enough for us grown-ups to wear them.
Yep.
What will happen in 10 years' time, Jade? Will we see Teletubbies on t-shirts and like 20-year-olds wearing Teletubby tops?
Maybe.
Yeah.
What else was around Teletubbies?
Well, I'll tell you because, like I said, I've got a little brother. Yeah. So I'm kind of privy to that.
Ben 10.
Oh, yeah. Ben 10. That's very cool with the kids.
Yeah.
Bakugan, which I don't...
Pokemon?
Pokemon was almost sort of... Yeah, kind of came and went, I think.
Yeah.
Pokemon has 5 years.
Yeah.
In 5 years' time, not 10, 5 years, it will start appearing on your t-shirts.
Okay.
Because that's kind of in between, you know.
It was in that weird period.
Yeah, like I was in primary school at that stage already, like transitioning to high school.
Yeah.
Pokemon, give it 5 years, I reckon. So, yeah, look, Teletubbies, Kim Possible, maybe.
Kim Possible.
But there's so much stuff that's on, you know, your cable TV networks now. It's just like SpongeBob. Hello. People are already wearing SpongeBob tops.
Yeah. SpongeBob is cool, though.
SpongeBob is very
cool. SpongeBob is very crossover. It's not necessarily a kids show.
Ah, yep. Look, you did ask me before about the Bert and Ernie thing and, you know, some controversies surrounding it. And look, like I said, I've been kind of on and off watching Sesame Street in the last 10, 11 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. When I watched in 1998, when my little brother was born, around the early 2000s, there was Elmo's World. That's when I noticed that. And I thought, okay, that's been a change of format.
Yep.
This morning, right before school.
Yep.
I happened to catch a little bit of Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
The intro has changed.
Really?
The animation in the intro bit has changed.
Okay.
Okay. So it's no longer like Big Bird walking down the street. You don't see Big Bird, I don't think. Okay. It's all animated. I think they've got like a new theme song, which is still that Sesame Street theme song, but like a new remix.
Oh, okay. So they've remixed it. Yeah. Kind of like when they remixed the Neighbours theme song.
That was crap. Yeah. Yeah. That was really crap.
Yep.
I'm not a fan of the new remixes. But they did that for Sesame Street. And I kind of looked back and tried to capture specific or controversial moments where there's been some changes on Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I love Cookie Monster.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2006, in a bid to kind of promote healthy eating,
mm-hmm.
Cookie Monster now has to say that cookies are a sometimes snack.
Does he really?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Well, which would you prefer, Jade? Like good values, teaching our kids to eat fruit and veggies and not just cookies all the time?
But you know what I mean? Like, I always have this thing about, you know, people who turn into a big issue about, oh, we're promoting this, we're promoting unhealthy. Cookie Monster has been around for 40 years, right?
And is still living just on a diet of cookies. Well, what does that tell you?
I'm not saying that cookies are bad. I'm not saying, you know, that. I'm just saying that you can't be saying that Cookie Monster is promoting unhealthy living.
Mm.
I just think that's like an extremist point of view. I think it's, you know, it's a parent's responsibility to say no to a kid if they want to eat nothing but cookies. It's not Cookie Monster's fault. That's ridiculous.
That's true. And you always get parents going, oh, you know, look at these pop stars dressing like hoes and dancing around the pole and all that.
Well, don't let your kid do it.
Yeah, it's as simple as that. I mean, we're not your parents. Yeah. You are the parent of your child. So I do see the point. And it is, after all, a fictitious character.
Yeah.
You know, so, but nonetheless, Cookie Monster has made the switch for healthier living and eating.
Ugh.
He is now eating lots of fruits and
I'm going to start a letter writing campaign tomorrow. I'm not happy.
Not happy about Cookie Monster's diet. Dan Vo has actually tweeted me on Twitter and says, Kermit was the long-standing newsreader.
Oh, really?
For Sesame Street News. That's right. He had the trench coat on.
Ah.
Kind of like Tim Lennox on Joy. There is a reference for everything in life that points towards Sesame Street, guys.
Okay.
And he did say Snuffleupagus's little sister is called Alice.
Alice. That's right, Alice.
So cute. In any case, there was another controversy all the way back in the year 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the South African version of Sesame Street, which is called Takalani Sesame,
mm-hmm.
they introduced a HIV-positive Muppet mm-hmm. called Kami. Okay?
Okay.
A lot of people were up in arms about it, going, oh, I'm not sure if kids should be knowing about stuff like this. But I think it's a good idea, given that it's South African TV and, you know, there are lots of kids that are dealing with loss of family members or parents that, mm-hmm. you know, they could be orphaned because of HIV or they could be HIV positive themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's really nice to see a character like that on TV.
Yeah.
So basically they brought in this furry yellow little girl Muppet called Kami just to, her character's pretty much like an orphaned HIV positive little girl.
Yep.
So she's brought into the show just to teach 3 to 7 year old kids how to deal with loss and sad feelings and all mm-hmm. that. So, I mean, it's not on the American version of Sesame Street,
okay.
but, yeah, it was in the South African one. I remember, yeah, there were talks about it, but I didn't really research into it at the time. So okay. it was interesting. But Gay Muppets, not so sure.
Yeah.
Maybe we can count Bert and Ernie unofficially.
Yeah, let's unofficially do that.
Yeah, let's put them on our T-shirts and everything.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Okay, so Tumblr, I was at a conference not too long ago and I heard some guy say, he was talking about, you know, rise and fall of different social networking sites and he said, I believe that the next big thing after Twitter will be Tumblr.
Oh, okay.
And I said, and so of course, as soon as I was on my little computer and I was sitting there on my laptop, and the first thing I did was go and sign up for a Tumblr account, because that's what I do. As soon as I hear about something, I'm like, okay, well, I've got to go try it out. Now, I have a Tumblr account, but I haven't actually had much time to spend, like, figuring out the intricacies, but there's some stuff that I really love about it. Mm. First and foremost, it's like this sort of clean dashboard look, which we've got a screenshot of it on our blog, where it's just like, it's really kind of simple. It's got like a little image and it says text. It's got a little image and it says photo. It's got a little image and it says quote. It's got a little image.
So when it comes to layout, you're a fan of it?
Yeah, it's just very simple, and it's just like you'll click on whatever one you want to use, and I'll explain what all of those different features are. And it's just like you go straight there, and it's very kind of compact and easy. But just to explain a bit about what Tumblr is, it's basically a blogging platform. Mm-hmm. But it allows you to post text, images, videos, links, quotes, and audio in what's called a Tumblr log. So it's a short form blog. So it's kind of similar to Twitter, in that Twitter's are called a micro blog. So except you're not actually limited to 140 characters like you are with Twitter.
But you're limited nonetheless.
It's a short form blog rather than, you know, like with like full on blog posts, you can go write to your heart's content. Yeah. You can actually follow other users, and you can see their posts in your dashboard. So that's similar to Twitter in that way.
So their posts, their whatever, their tweets yes, or status updates, exactly. Their photos and all that. Yeah.
Yep. And you can, they sort of pride themselves on being customizable and easy to use. They have like a really, they have a like button, which is similar to, when you're on Facebook, you can like something. Mm-hmm. So you can tell them, you know, whoever about whether you like what they're doing. And you can also reblog, which is similar to a retweet feature.
Hmm.
It did actually, it easily, you can easily sort of repost their content too. So it's not like until recently, I don't know, people who are using Twitter, recently they've been, there's a beta test for the retweet function on yep. Twitter. Mm-hmm. With Tumblr, but before that you had to do like, you know, the old fashioned RT like yep. situation. The Tumblr reblog thing is a lot simpler to do.
Okay.
One of the things about that they claim as the big thing of Tumblr as opposed to Twitter, for example, mm-hmm. is Tumblr has an 85% retention rate as compared to Twitter that has a 40% retention rate. So what that means is people sign up.
Yeah.
85% of people continue to have ongoing use, whereas with Twitter it's 40%. So it's
I can almost see why, though, because Tumblr seems like it's offering more value.
Yeah.
You're not just 140 characters at a time, you know? You're actually getting more out of it, and there's more different aspects. I can see why that might be more popular.
Yeah.
So the question is, when do you think Tumblr's moment will be?
Well, I guess it's interesting because in the articles that I were reading about it, like they kept comparing it. They kept saying that it's the long lost cousin to Facebook and Twitter. So it's been around since 2007. So it's not particularly new. And it's got, I think it's just a matter of people kind of getting on it and like yeah. actually getting involved with it and getting that hype, I guess. I mean, as soon as Oprah gets on it, it'll crash the system like it did with Twitter.
Or Ellen DeGeneres. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll just tell you a bit about the actual features within Tumblr. So there's seven key things within Tumblr that you can do. There's a function called text, which is basically, you know, a simple self-explanatory text editor post. You mm-hmm. can edit in HTML if you want to do it that way. It's up to you. It's possible to also upload images into that text function, but that wasn't actually there originally. You can also do the second function is called photo, and that's you're just posting a photo, and you can chuck in a caption with it. Mm. You can do multiple photos and chuck captions for it there. So in that way, it's kind of similar to Facebook. Mm. or you can embed from it from another site. So you can embed images from other sites.
So it really is like a storehouse for all these functions that you're enjoying with Blogger, with Facebook, with Twitter.
Ooh. Yeah, you can do something called a quote. So it's where you insert a body of text into a box, and then it submits a source. So it's like kind of like when you do on Facebook
when you tag someone.
Yeah, when you do a you know how you can post a link?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Oh, okay.
So you can post your link there and it'll have like where it originally came from.
Hmm.
there's also the link post, which is, again, similar to the link option within Facebook, but is more just the title and then a link.
Hmm.
And then you've got a chat option, which the chat one kind of I find the most confusing because
it's not like MSN, is it?
It's not actually live
or
chat
or Google or Gmail chat or whatever.
No, but what it does is it inserts code. You can automatically insert code to copy conversations from your instant message platforms into
why would you want to do that?
I know. It's
that is so obscure.
Yeah, I know.
It's really obscure. In any case, the Full Any Opera host, Mr. Danvo, has a Tumblr account.
Yeah.
He's obviously jumped on the bandwagon as well, just like you. And he says that the thing that really sells it for him is that, what Tumblr does better than Blogger is that he can easily post podcasts and audio
on Tumblr. Yes, I'm getting to that. That was in my next one, Danvo. Audio, you can upload MP3s up to 10 megabytes in size.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
Now, that's a selling point for me, yeah. Yeah,
and you can also do the same. You can only do one audio per day, which, you know, fair enough. And you can also do video. So you can post, you can embed from YouTube and you can, or, you know, any other site that hosts files like PhotoBucket or anything like that, or you can upload it directly into Tumblr using Vimeo, which is a free video service, which is a separate site. So they're kind of working together. The other interesting thing is they've got lots of like different apps.
Oh.
Yeah, so they've got a Facebook app. They've got a stack of different dashboard widgets. You can do a call-in audio function. So you can call in and post audio to your audio function. Oh. There's an iPhone app, of course. You can publish to Twitter. And then they've started to develop a community that has third-party apps that you can use as well. So, yeah, it's an interesting tool to use, and I can't wait till I'm on holiday so I can actually like sit there and spend lots of time being geeky.
Well, I thought your holidays meant for you to get away from the computer, see the world, and
you would think so,
but Jade's downtime is geek time.
Yeah,
thanks for the geek out there. I mean, I'm kind of sold on the Tumblr thing. Maybe I'll go quickly secure myself a David Lim domain name.
And you were initially skeptical too, so
I know.
I feel like I've done my job now.
Oh yeah, well done with your sales pitch.
Joy 94.9.
Different Strokes Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
You say that it's about pop artist with character.
Pop artist with character.
Forget what you've heard. Go to listen to Strummy Lala music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Now, Dave, I don't actually own any live music CDs.
Neither do I. I tend to buy them off iTunes. Like, you know how iTunes has the whole live collection?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes they're not the best, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers in any case.
I guess for me, I kind of get distracted and sometimes annoyed by the crowds.
Really? Well, it's not like they're chiming in all the time.
Well, with indie bands, they tend to try and sing along.
Well, they do that with Beyonce as well, okay?
Yeah.
Beyonce's crowds are very involved and we all know the lyrics to Irreplaceable.
But with Beyonce, right, isn't if Beyonce's playing an arena and there's a live crowd, does it? Can you hear like them trying to sing?
Yeah, you can, especially for songs like Irreplaceable, where she deliberately puts the mic out. If anyone's ever seen Beyonce do Irreplaceable live, or anyone's ever seen a clip of her do Irreplaceable, she actually doesn't do Irreplaceable live.
Yeah.
She pretty much just puts the mic out and for people to sing along, and she comes in for the big notes.
But
in any case, look, what I'm reviewing tonight is actually her live CD DVD collection. This is the first time that she's ever done anything like this before. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a big Beyonce fan.
Yep.
I love Destiny's Child, and it kind of seems like a natural progression to go from Destiny's Child to Beyonce. Now, I was just telling my mum this tonight because over dinner, you know, I just whacked the DVD on. I said, look, this is what I'm going to review tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum, look, she's pretty cool with music and all that. She doesn't really pay
She does
attention.
Tend to be a bit far behind because she did go through a huge Celine Dion phase like just a year ago.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's crazy that she's only just discovered Celine Dion.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, look, she listens to Lenka.
Yeah.
She listens to Alicia Keys every now and then. She does like a Jennifer Hudson song. Whatever I burn her, she'll probably like, as long as it's not too loud and noisy.
Yep.
So, but with Beyonce, see, she's used to, you know, I mean, your impression of Beyonce is probably like really loud, kind of brassy R&B music.
Mm-hmm.
But this DVD is actually her stripped back so-called acoustic intimate show.
Oh, okay. So does she play guitar?
No.
That's what I'm picturing. I'm like picturing her sitting on a stool with her guitar.
No. But look, without a shadow of doubt, she is certainly one of the best pop entertainers of our time. I mean, there's so many pop stars out there, but there's really none quite like her.
Well, there's not many people that can get away with having a single name.
Oh, whatever. Brandy. But still, Cher. Lenka. Case closed. Beyonce is a consummate performer for me. Look, she has amazing vocals when she's singing live. You think you know the songs, but you've never actually heard the songs until you hear her sing it live. It's always better than the studio version, and she just gives it her all. And the fact that she's also up there dancing in high heels and also performing these songs is just spectacular. I really admire that.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen her twice, but this current CD DVD thing was only a once-off show she did in Vegas.
Okay.
So she's released that as a CD DVD. It came out in Australia on the 20th of November. It's called I Am Yours. The DVD actually went straight to number one in the US. And on Thanksgiving Day was when they premiered the whole show on TV.
Hmm.
So it was a bit of a Thanksgiving treat for her American fans. Now, just a couple of quick facts about the I Am Yours CD DVD show. It was recorded during the American leg of her I Am tour in August this year. Look, like I said, she is traditionally and usually a big arena spectacle kind of a performer.
Yep.
But for this intimate, so-called intimate show, she's actually performing at a smaller theatre that only sits, I don't know, less than 1,500 people.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, you know, it's not quite Prince or the Northcote or whatever, but, you know, it's Beyonce. So when you say Beyonce intimate one night only, you got to make a bit of allowance there. So, I mean, I don't know what you think about this, but she calls it sort of like an unplugged intimate experience.
Okay.
But how unplugged and intimate do you actually expect an artist like Beyonce to go?
Well, I'm going to be disappointed now there's no acoustic guitar and stools involved.
Well, there is acoustic guitars and stools, but she's not playing it. She's singing, but she's accompanied by
people. Is she wearing jeans?
She ain't wearing jeans. She still looks fabulous and
glamorous.
If
she was wearing jeans, I'd like
or barefoot. But no, she has her smoke. She has smokes. Okay. And she has the lights, the laser lights add some nice effects to it. And she, of course, it's Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to have a wind machine. Wind machine goes with her everywhere. She goes to Coles, wind machine follows. She goes to the Botanical Gardens, wind machine follows. Okay. She's on stage. There's going to be a wind machine. So she has a wind machine with her. It's not quite as stripped back and unplugged as people might expect.
Okay.
But nonetheless, she did fight very hard with the show producers to put stairs at the bottom of the stage so she can sit on the steps of the stairs to be closer to people
in the
front
row. Okay,
so that's
like her version of the stool.
Yeah, but she does have stools as well, but she also tries very hard to be intimate.
Okay.
So look, give her props is due. She's never going to play at a smaller venue than this. This is as intimate as it feels. And to be honest, to her credit, it actually does feel pretty intimate.
Okay.
And it's not just about the setting or about how far people are sitting or any of that kind of nonsense. It's really to do with how she has structured the show. Mm-hmm. She starts off acoustic, so all the hits that you know, she'll either dress it down or put a different arrangement to it.
Okay.
She starts the show off acoustic and then winds it up to, like, you know, her full-blown dancing, hollering kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the favorite part is, my favorite part of the whole thing is actually when she starts doing a bit of storytelling, okay, which I think you really like when it comes to live performances.
Yes.
That's that engagement with the crowd.
Yep.
So she does the Destiny's Child medley.
Yep.
And she talks through, you know, Survivor, this is why I wrote Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not that candidness that you would probably expect, Jade. It's still sounding very rehearsed.
Ah, okay.
You know, there's like all these perfect comic timings already put in.
Ah, yeah. Insert laughter here.
No, but it was good.
Is there a big applause sign? Like,
don't be a bitch. I'm not going to talk to you about this anyway. Dissing my queen. But in any case, I'm going to let you listen to a couple of tracks from her "I Am Yours" CD DVD. This is an album in a blend. Yeah, whatever, hater.
I like Beyonce.
Different Strokes album in the blend. Beyonce. I Am Yours, an intimate performance at Wynn Las Vegas.
This next song is called Halo. Remember those walls I built? Well, baby, they tumbling down. And they didn't even put up a fight. They didn't even make a sound. I found a way to let you in, but I never really had a doubt. Standing in the light of your halo, I got my angel now. It's like I've been awakened. Every rule I had you breaking. It's the risk that I'm taking. I ain't never gonna shut you out. Everywhere I'm looking now, I'm surrounded by. You're my saving grace. You're everything I need and more. It's written all over your face. Vegas, I can feel your halo. I pray you won't fade away. Now it's time for us to have some fun. Baby, sing like everywhere I go. They called us male bashers. They called us gold diggers. And I had enough. So I wrote my own theme song, Independent Woman. I went into the studio all by myself and I recorded a demo because I wanted to make it very, very clear that we paid our own bills. Here comes my father again. He snuck the demo and he took it to Sony Pictures to submit for the soundtrack Charlie's Angels. Now, why did he do that? Question. Well, the song ended up being number one for 12 weeks in a row. So I guess he ended up doing the right thing. Question. Lucy Liu, with my girl Drew, Cameron D and Destiny, and then
well,
three. Halo was interesting.
The acoustic stuff you didn't mind?
No, I thought it was quite good.
Yeah, in any case, you know, that concludes our live music little session tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, we try to bring you the best of indie and, you know, pop artists doing live recordings and live music around here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our review of I Am Yours by Beyonce.
Joy 94.9.
Different Strokes Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.